just kind of explaining what we had in mind. And it's part of that email, I said, you know, we're going to need to leave fairly quickly after our afternoon service. And I said, we're going to try to make that a bit briefer than normal. And I joked, I know the preacher, and so I think maybe we can get that done. To which Harold Pirtle replied, we also know the preacher. We have some concern. Thank you, Harold, for that. I may not have been the exact wording, but I think I caught the idea of it. It's a legitimate concern. Obviously, we've given you plenty of reason to believe that we don't know how to tell time. We do. It's a good day, and I'm grateful for what has been done already. Jesse got us off on an extremely good foot. I thought of four or five things that I can do this week to increase the amount of gratitude that I experience and demonstrate. And I want you to know that as I count my blessings, that you, each one of you, as I look around and see these faces, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the church director this week, and I'm going to talk about something about each one of those people that blessed me. And the truth is, I'm already thinking about it. I'm grateful for that. I'm especially grateful now as I'm more deliberate about this particular point of gratitude for what our elders do. And I'd like for us to spend just a few minutes considering why we can be so grateful for that. I start us off in the text that I listed for the bulletin in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Now, I think we tend to decontextualize this just a little bit, but we use the phrase a lot, honor to whom honor is due. And this, as you'll be aware from Romans chapter 13, is in the context of the Christian's interaction with his government, a government which was not always clearly deserving of gratitude or honor. But Paul tells the Romans, and he also Peter tells his audience in 1 Peter chapter 2, that God has endorsed leadership and that he wants us to be respectful because of who we are and because of our response to him, not because of the deservedness of those to whom we might give our respect for one reason or another. But there are some groups of people who not only deserve the respect because God has put them where they are, or because God endorses the idea of people being in their position, but some people are worthy of our respect because they do things that are exactly what God would have them to do. And the elders of this church are in that category. I want to give us two reasons that make our elders worthy of our honor today. And the first of them started a long time ago for some of our elders, a long, long time ago, because they didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, okay, you need an elder? Fine, I'll do it. These are people who have prepared themselves throughout a lifetime. You don't instantly ready yourself for a task like this. I start us off in 1 Timothy chapter 3, a very well-known passage related to the role of elders. I'm just going to read this, and I want you to think about what kind of person has become this. What kind of person is it of whom it is reasonably said that this person possesses these characteristics or traits? The saying is trustworthy, Paul tells Timothy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, but not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the combination of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. What does it take for a person to ready himself to serve as a shepherd in God's church? Well, it takes a lifetime of good decisions. It takes giving God's intentions for one's life consideration at those times when simple romantic interest, for example, might determine a decision. I'm confident that our elders were romantically interested in their respective spouses. But I am confident also that they made those choices with God's plans in mind. That they chose people who would stand beside them. As they raised their family, they weren't just thinking about keeping the kids from killing one another. Okay, maybe some days, but most throughout their lifetime, made the choices they did for the sake of demonstrating that God was ruling their household. And whether or not they were ever thinking about serving one day as an elder, in so doing, they demonstrated the ability to provide spiritual leadership in the ground that was the training ground for leadership in the church. They made good choices about their moral lives. They developed relationships with others that were worthy of respect. They have been thoughtful about each of their decisions, self-controlled in their lives, have opened their homes to others, have been students of the Word of God. It is a noble task, occupied and accomplished by noble-minded people who are worthy of our respect and honor. Second of all, we want to acknowledge and show appreciation for our elders because of the work that they are asked to do. In Hebrews chapter 13, 7, the Hebrews writer tells his audience to remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What's it like to live every day aware that God has directed other people to look at you as a spiritual model? It's sobering, isn't it? From time to time, we'll see a celebrity who will disclaim responsibility for that kind of attention. I never asked to be a role model. It doesn't matter if you ask. You are. But these are men who have accepted the role having read Hebrews 13:7. They're aware that other people are watching and that their model is supposed to be instructive, that they teach not only by the things that happen in a classroom or a personal Bible study, but by the actions that they enact in their lives that others are called upon to emulate. In verse 17 of that same chapter, Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." When you and I, most of us in this room, think about giving an account, it's personal, isn't it? It's about me having to explain, perhaps as we might envision it. The Bible doesn't necessarily say we have any explaining to do. God knows all. But that simply things are laid bare and we will be held to account for the things that we have done. I'm going to have my hands full just giving an account for Mark Blackwelder. These are men who have agreed to be held to account for others. The weight of that caused Paul on one occasion to say, in addition to all of the difficult things that he had had to deal with, he said, besides that, there is the burden of the churches. The men who serve as elders in this congregation and other congregations are familiar with that burden. The pain and heartbreak that you experience, they carry along with you, maybe in ways that you cannot possibly fully appreciate. I've listened to these men pray over the challenges that are going on in your lives. They carry that burden each day. And though Tony, of course, is right to say that the joys certainly would outnumber the sorrows, the weight of those sorrows and challenges is still a heavy burden to carry. Ultimately, what this congregation will be what this group of believers will do and what we will think and where we will go are directly related to the leadership that these people provide. It is a work not to be undertaken lightly. It is, as Steve said to me just a few moments ago, the most important job that he has ever had. And I think that all of them would share that admission. We have much for which to be thankful. We ought to be expressing that today, though I'm certain that there have been, by many of us, regularly casual comments or maybe more direct statements of appreciation to our elders. Today, on behalf of this congregation, I say thank you. Thank you so much for your lives, not just the ones that you've spent as an elder, not just the years you've spent as an elder here, but for all of your lives. Thank you for what you have done for this body of people and for so many others. Thank you to the women who have stood beside our elders doing countless things to make sure that the congregation was served and to make sure that this person who has this heavy burden to carry was supported. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who make Estes such a great place to be. One of the traditions that we have accepted almost without thinking is the extending of an invitation at the end of every sermon. I was at a congregation this past Sunday that didn't do that. I admit, even for me, it seemed weird. Not wrong, because the invitation of Christ is always open. But there is nothing more important than we could ever do than to invite people to come to Jesus. Do you need to do that? You will find in Him exactly what you need, regardless of what it is. Do you need to come to Jesus? If you need to become a child of God, you will find rescue, salvation, cleansing, hope. If you are a child of God who is struggling, you will find someone who understands and who is ready to help you carry your burden. If you have challenges that are too big for you to face on your own, you will find not only an understanding Savior, but a body of brothers and sisters who stand ready to serve you. Can we help you in any way? If so, would you come as we stand and sing this song together?